Welcome to Let's Do It Radio with Keeping It Real with Sergeant Parks, Sergeant James Parks, I should say, of Yakima, Washington. Today is Thursday, March 10th, 2022, and I am your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Falco Designs, and I'm broadcasting to you worldwide. We here like to celebrate people, and this evening we are celebrating Women's History Month as we salute all women around the world and our worldwide listeners today. The call-in number is 845-241-9985. But first, I want to introduce our guest host for the evening segment, Mr. James Parks, out of Yakima, a man of strength, character, and one for the people who likes to celebrate. And I want y'all to put your hands together as we bring on Sergeant Parks, and he keeps it real. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you,
Mr. Parks. You're welcome.
Thank you, girl. You always know how to bring a guy on and stuff. That's really, really good. Yeah, today we're gonna switch it up a little bit, and then this is Women's History Month. So instead of, I mean, callers can call in, and then they can talk about whatever favorite woman they want to. Okay, they can talk about their heroes, but I thought that maybe we would. I want to hear some people that's close to you, giving them some praise. You know, it could be mama, it could be your daughter. You know, it's all about, they are women. You know, so we're gonna wind it up and stuff, and see what you have to say, and then I have some text messages here we'll read later on to some of the women that I know, the real hip women that's out in the business, you know. they're on higher ground than we on and stuff, you know, working in these big houses. I got some text messages from them, so I will read them to you guys later on. But I'm going to take the first shot here, and I want to give a shout out to number one, to my wife.
She's been
by the fella so long, man. I'm telling you, she's been in the battle with the fella for so long. So I got to give her a shout out and praise, and to my mama, my deceased mother and stuff, that brought me in this world and taught me just about everything I know.
So we
just got one call on.
No, we actually have Reverend Ron Marshall on the line as well. He has called in.
Welcome, Reverend.
Good evening, and thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Maybe Inez, you want to get him to pray up on us. We all need that.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yes.
Amen.
Do you mind praying, Reverend Marshall?
No, I'm always ready.
Good. Open us up with one of them fervent prayers.
Yeah. Right. Bring it, please.
Father God, Jehovah, in the mighty majestic name of Jesus, we thank you for things being as well as they are. Thank you for this portion of health and strength we experience. We thank you this evening. Thank you because... Yes. You've changed our lives, given us a new viewpoint and point of view, and we thank you this evening. You redirected our very train of thinking that we might think like you and that we might have a peace that surpasses all understanding, and we thank you this evening. And then you didn't just leave us alone, but you sent us a comforter, the Holy Ghost, who leads us and who guides us when we are falling, brings us back.
Yes.
to the reality of your divine nature. And we thank you this evening. Now, Lord, we ask that you look on them that are lost. Look on them that are confused. Look on them that are addicted to whatever the habit may be. You are an able God, and you are just God, and you love us all. Look on them, Lord, and give them a peace of mind, and give them courage to endure the duration of life until you come. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we ask that you be in the midst of us this evening as we give honor to the weaker vessel, the woman, to our people that have stood by us, stood in the gap for us, and even was a transfiguration away of us getting from eternity here to the earth. We thank you for them tonight as we think upon them and honor them. You said give honor to whom honor is due. Now, Lord, let thy will be done everywhere, in every case, in every person's life. And then strengthen them that are needing strengthening everywhere, them that are confounded, and them that are in prisons, and them that are bound. Lord, look on them and give them a mind of freedom that surpasses all understanding, and then let them change in the name of Jesus. Thou would do these things for us. We'll be careful, and we'll follow your spirit. Hold us in your hands that we don't cause you no shame. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
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 Yes.
Hallelujah
to that.
Yes. Thank you.
Even
thank
on
you.
Even the
Phoenix
come to my church and give a sermon.
That's right, huh? Yes. He does. He be doing some praying now. He does some praying.
Yeah, I felt that, preacher. You brought that one.
Praise the Lord.
You brought that.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, and another shout out. I want to give another shout out to you guys, to Miss Inez. You know, our sister that created this whole content, she passed away in December.
Yeah.
And, I want to give her a shout out. Bless her soul. I know that she is riding amongst the angels. But I want to give Sister Sharon a shout out.
Yeah.
She was misunderstood by some people, but she had a good heart. She had a good soul.
Right.
You know, and it wouldn't have been for her, then we wouldn't be probably on the same wavelength today. So let's give a shout out to Sister Sharon. I know she's up there with her mother and her father, you know, looking down on us.
Yeah.
Yes. That, hey. And she's the one who started, and I'm just glad that I can continue, you know, in her honor and her footsteps.
Well, that's what friends are for.
Hey, give a shout out to yourself too, sis.
Hey, Sergeant.
Every ship needs a skipper.
Amen. Hey. Amen. Amen.
So you tell me
how to do it. And she can handle the rage of storms as well.
Absolutely.
Yep. Thank you guys. That's so funny. But I do wanna honor the women that are, you know, brought us through. And will see us too, and see us through. I want to. You remember that song? Give me my flowers while I yet live.
While I can smell them,
so I can see the beauty that they bring. Speak kind words to me while I can hear them, so that I can hear the comfort that they bring.
I'm trying to find the whole word, all the words. friends and loved ones may give me my flowers when I'm sick or on my sick bed, but I'd rather have just one tulip right now than a blanket full of roses when I'm dead. Give me my flowers while I yet live so that I can see the beauty that they bring. Speak kind words to me while I can hear them so I can hear the comfort that they bring.
Yeah,
I just had to say that because, you know,
because
we don't, you know, we don't do that enough. We don't do that enough to each other, for each other, you know.
You know,
well, I
want to
go ahead and say one thing, too, brother-in-law James.
Go ahead now.
My brother-in-law James, he was down and sick here for a number of of weeks here, a couple of weeks ago. We all fervently prayed that he would get through this, and he did. And in order to encourage him, I gave him his goddamn flower. I sent him a beautiful gardenia, weatherproof, because they had cold weather there in Washington. But brother-in-law, I never did ask. Is it still living?
But yes, it's still living. You know, this is for you guys. This is like for all of the women in the world that we're stepping on their shoulders now. That's what I feel about it. Especially the women, here in America, and particularly the sisters and stuff, you know, that's going through this whole battle. You know, going through this whole battle and stuff, just like they not even here. You know?
Yeah.
Huh.
I thank you for Kamala Harris. Thank you for this woman that they want to put into the Supreme Court. All these firsts. This is 2022. All of these firsts in the last year of prominent women that's been holding line the whole time, that the whole ship and everything else going. You know, and nobody wants to give them their grace. You know, and I'm not talking about the present company. I'm talking about the powers that be. It seems to me. Oh, I read this article today about Bill Gates' wife got a divorce, and the article, she didn't go in and then have a conversation about calling him a dog and calling him a rat after him cheating on her for 20 some years. She was elegant. Now that's the type of woman that you want. You know, she didn't get no switchblade and go wait till he went to sleep and then cut him up and stuff. You know, she said that he gonna have to deal with that. Them questions y'all need to ask about him being infidelity and all of this, she said, y'all go ask Bill. Now, wasn't that stand up? That's a stand-up woman. You know, she'll never have to worry about nothing for the rest of her life, you know.
Right.
I mean, she'll be filthy rich, but that's a stand-up woman and stuff, you know. I know many women and stuff like that. Just, they got out and just did the job.
Yeah.
Wow. See, some people have class and some people have other things. You know,
you either
take the high road or take the low road. She took the high road because, you know, things have already been done, so he has to live with them. So why are you going to, you know, drag him through the dirt when he already feels bad?
You know, that's a stand-up person and stuff, you know. Wow, just like Michelle Obama, she said, when they go low, we go high. When they go low, you go high.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
a lot of people didn't understand what they was talking about when she said that. A lot of people on the other side try to make fun of that. You know, putting all of these faces of monkeys and stuff on this lady and stuff, just like she is not intelligent. You know, it's just real. It's real amazing and stuff. You know, and I'm
how they degrade everybody.
Just proud. I am really proud and stuff. You know, like, you know, my wife, oh, wow. She's an extraordinary woman. And her sister can attest to that, you know. She don't complain, but she can lock your heels and tell you. She don't do a whole lot of complaining, but she can lock your heels and give you your marching orders and stuff, and you understand that.
Okay. You know. That's funny. That is hilarious.
And it's many more sisters and stuff. I'm thinking about my niece, Jaquel. She passed away. And she left two twins. She left three kids and two twins and stuff. And I like her mom and her aunt. They all came together and made sure the kids ain't have nothing to worry about.
That's beautiful.
The Lord took her. Looked up and took her at the brightest point in her life. He came and got her. But she was doing good because when she left him and stuff, she left them something. She left them
good.
Foundation. She left them. And then her aunt, the woman on this phone, and her sister, they came to the mount, and then they took care of that. They helped took care of them kids, you know. The oldest boy, he went to play football, the college football for Utah, you know. I was saying, wow, you know. But, yeah, them the people and stuff that, you know, I want to recognize. You know, the heroes, they're the foundation, they got us here, but those people and stuff. I looked at my grandson's principal. You know, during this pandemic and stuff, you know, I take him to school every day and I see her out, you know, she be accepting the parents when they be bringing their kids up. You know, you don't see that nowhere else. A principal standing out there greeting parents, bringing their kids to school, and she's there when parents pick their kids up. She's there. You guys know anybody like that? You know any teacher to do that?
How do you know?
I think they do at my son's. I think they do that at my son's school. I believe they drop them off and have people.
Them in Atlanta. Kind of people, them the kind of women and stuff that I really, really, really look up to and praise because those kind of people. Now we got some that's not doing too well. And I ain't gonna speak bad of them and stuff, you know.
Somebody
gonna call in, and then they're gonna want to wish them well, and I think that's what it's all about, right, preacher?
Yes, sir.
Just because we don't sit down and get along, that don't mean that we can't think about each other and wish the best. The best,
right? That's right.
You know. But yeah, it's a lot
that's
of
right.
It's a lot of women. I can keep going on and on. I've been blessed to be around so many women. I think I told on our Ned show the other night, I told him, I said, well, I can remember being 9 years old and my aunties sit me up on the table and stuff and pinning them dresses and stuff on me. and talking about how a man is supposed to treat a woman. You know, talk about things about, you know, it's a two-way street of give and take. That's the only thing I can remember from 9 years old and stuff. When I used to get in with my cousin, they used to stop us. It's a two-way street. What's right is right, you know. So, hey, I can realize that.
Yeah, but that was a good show the other night. It was men versus women. Are you real or are you fake? That was a good one.
Yeah,
Reverend, you should have been on that one and stuff. Oh
man,
God.
I hate I missed that. You know.
Yeah,
I really hate that.
We had six callers and stuff to call on. And this mm-hmm. one guy, Joe, you know, I mean, God bless him. I love him. Okay. But y'all just have to hear what his opinion was and stuff, you know. And I kind of feel that
mm-hmm.
it's the way you're raised, you know.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's the way you're
yeah.
raised when you come to have an opinion and stuff about the opposite sex, like what
mm-hmm.
you did. But I just had to ask some questions and stuff. You know, it was just tremendous. So the next time she have that particular set, y'all need to come
mm-hmm.
on and you need to see. You know, he's 50-some years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, I got to.
He's about
yeah,
60 or something
on.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
never been married.
He's a good guy. And everybody has their opinion and stuff about that. But we just had a conversation about the opposite sex and stuff, you
mm-hmm.
know. And
mm-hmm.
He was real eloquent about what he was saying. I don't have nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
to not what he was saying, but I could look into my own life and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
mm-hmm.
I was, you know, kind of brought up a bit differently and stuff to be able to do that, you know. If you're in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
it's a give and take situation. Everybody put their two cents together and stuff. When one can't make their two cents, the other one help them.
Yeah.
Make
right, right,
right, right.
Two cents, you know.
Right, right, right. So true.
But yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's another thing that we're kind of weak in. And then, mm-hmm. do we got any other callers?
No, just us so far. Just us. But
okay.
Yeah, but I would like to shout out to my mom who's passed away, my sister who's passed away, my great grandmother, my fashion design name is after, Anais Valcourt. She's from Louisiana, and so that's the real what do you call it? Eloquent name. So I was like, I'm going
yeah.
to that for my
yeah.
design name. So that's how I use. Valcourt, Anais Valcourt. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, from New Orleans, as they say. She's a New Orleans
mm-hmm.
darling. Yes, she was Creole. And then my brother,
okay.
my brother is something else. He named just about everybody. It's like, because my daughter said, Mom, why is he naming all these people? And because I'm out here sending out these texts to everybody, say, hey, you know, call in, join in, blah, 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 blah. So he sent a list of people he wanted, quote, unquote, wanted me to shout out to. It was like, oh, my gosh, some of everybody. And my daughter says, why is he sending all these people's names? So bear with me. It says Aunt Lulu Salter, Imelda Brown, Imelda Knutson, Miss Inez, Siobhan Chubb, Linda Cooley, Lily Brown, Emandolin Brown, my sister, rest in peace, Nancy Kelly, rest in peace, Dawana Kelly, Elnora Cooley, my aunt, Linda Cooley, Yvonne Cooley, Nancy Kelly, Tina Race Brown Sterling, she's been married a few times, Niecy Brown, Jerry Ellis, she's passed away. Who else do we have on here? Jerry Ellis, I got to see. Jerry Lynn, he never gives last names. Nancy Kelly, Nancy Webb, our First Lady, Doris Andrews, Heather Lynn Andrews, Watkins now, Angela Pace, Angela Smith, Grandma Moses, he said, now how am I doing? He said, I'm tired now. So he ran down the list. Bless his heart. So those are some of the women he wanted me to shout out to this evening. So Diane Connor, she just passed away. Yeah, a lot of people have passed away. And I just want to, you know, just give a shout out to all the healthcare workers, male and female. It don't make a difference. Healthcare workers who took care of the people who had COVID, because, I mean, that was a crazy 2 years, and,
yeah.
you know, so I have to shout out to the men as well. I don't care. Even though it's Women's History Month, we still have to shout out to the men, because God made Adam and Eve, Okay, yeah. So without Adam, there would have been no Eve to begin this whole women's history anyway. So we just have to give a shout out to Eve, the first woman. So that's where I want to also start. But I'm just saying. Mary Magdalene, you know.
Right. Oh, wow, this is deep.
I'm just saying.
Okay, you know, yeah. Y'all don't have to be.
We got to go way back.
You know, go with it. Go with the flow. You know, if that's what you feel, don't stifle what you feel. Don't try and keep it inside.
Oh, no.
Preachers don't tell you to explode if you keep it. Tell a preacher you explode if you keep it all inside.
Right on.
Trust me.
Can I say something here?
Yes,
to all of the brilliant women in my life and the ones I know and so on and as such, and to Inez, to all of the women on the phone.
Thank you.
Women brought forth imperfection, and then they turn around and brought forth perfection.
Okay.
Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you want to explain it?
Women brought forth imperfection. Because if you look at it in second chapter, first chapter of Genesis, it was a perfect state, all as humans were concerned. There was no fallen nature. The fallen nature came when Eve conceived information from Lucifer. She conceived it in her mind. The conception was not a physical child, but it was a mental child, which was the fallen nature sin. Okay? Then Mary, the mother of Jesus, she turned around and conceived knowledge from God that she would have an immaculate birth. That's where masculinity come into place.
Okay.
Well, one lady brought about imperfection. Another lady brought about perfection. So women have a very strong and very structured hold on life.
Okay.
She was born to lead. Lead emotions. She was born to lead emotions. She was born to hype up the courage of a man. She was born to complete a man because nothing else was suitable enough to do it.
Okay.
So women have a strong role in this modernistic world and civilized life. And I applaud all of them. And commend their work.
Yes.
That's my saying on this women there, you know? And my favorite lady.
He said, that's my saying.
My favorite lady. You know who she is?
First lady.
I'm sure you're going to tell us.
No, I'm going to keep it to myself.
he was going to say Miss Inez.
Why wasn't it your mother?
You know, it's a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman.
Oh, girl. Oh, man. Oh, girl.
Oh, boy.
I have to laugh. You're gonna have to tell your sister-in-law why you said that. You're gonna have to tell your sister-in-law why.
Why I said what?
Why you said that? Me? I don't know. I don't have no idea why. I just do what I do. That's it.
Yeah.
I just do what I
what?
Do.
That's what we do at times and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give a shout out to my mother-in-law. She's passed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were peace,
uh-huh.
So,
mm.
Man, I'm
James,
telling
that
you.
Was Buck.
Huh?
I wanted to give a shout out to my mama.
Okay, uh-huh. Well, both of us can give a shout out. I just want to say this stuff, but she was one of the sweetest persons that I know that I've known. And you talking
uh-huh.
about somebody that could cook anything.
Yeah.
She could cook roadkill. Okay. She could cook roadkill. I don't care what it was in the soul. Okay. And you be sitting up there saying, "Oh my God, what is this?" Licking them fingers, boy. That's what Tiso was.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. This woman could cook anything. The best gumbo. Now my wife cooked good gumbo, but the best gumbo I have heard. I had gumbo every day.
I know that's right.
You know, she could cook gumbo, man, and then had a whole block and stuff. Don't let them smell it. Then they'll be just their nose just be coming up to the door and say, "Ooh, Miss Tiso cooking gumbo." She cared about everybody. This woman cared about it. Had a heart of gold.
Yeah, let me piggyback
cracking
on that.
Up.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
I'm going to piggyback on that, James. My mom was the best mom that I could have ever asked for. She left
mm-hmm.
us too soon. She left us at 54. The great thing about my mom, she was an unselfish woman. She loved us. We never, you know, some mothers nowadays, they beat their children.
Mm.
So we never got a whooping.
Mm-hmm.
Never did my mom get a whooping. That's one thing I said I would never do to my kids, because my daddy was the beater and my mom was the lover. So she left us unconditionally.
The nurturer.
No matter what. But she left us too soon. She's with me every day. I never think about her without anything. She's just constantly always been with me. And it's been about 26 years now that she's passed. I'd also like to give a shout out to both my sisters, my sister Charlene, who's the wife of James Park, and then my youngest sister, Sherilyn. They have both overcome obstacles, unimaginable obstacles, from being teen mothers to wonderful, productive contributors to society today. And for them, I'm so proud and so thankful, even though they're my little sisters. But then I'd also like to give a shout-out to my grandmother, my paternal grandmother. She bore 18 kids, she and her husband, my grandfather, Philip Pleasant. One set of twins, and they had so much love in their heart, they adopted another child who was a friend of my dad's, whose parents were not there for him. So my shout-out goes to my grandparents. They were never, ever, 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 ever on welfare. As a matter of fact, they had a big old article on them in Yakima, Washington, on how they managed to raise so many kids without state assistance. And that's just the way they did it back in the day. They supported one another through community and family. There was no handout wanted, you know. They took pride in supporting their family. They all had the responsibilities in the household. They had to live in two different houses.
How many kids, LaJuan? How many kids did they
have?
Yeah,
they had 18 kids.
They had 18 kids and seven twins.
All of them went to college. All of the kids, except for one, all of them went to college, you know.
All of them were in college. None were ever in prison, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my shout out for the day.
Okay, so I'm going to take this minute right here to read one of the texts that I have from Miss Risha Cosby. She is she is the president of the local branch of the NAACP here in Yakima. She's also on so many boards that it's not even funny. I can't, it'll be all night before I can talk about all of them. You know, this, she is truly, you know, one gifted woman. This is what she says. She says, "My most admired female is my mom, Mary Cosby. Not to be confused with that lady with the same name on the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. My mom has truly been my rock through all my turbulent times. At an early age, she learned to turn heartbreak, tragedy, trauma into silver lining. She doesn't know it, but she taught me how to be brave, brave enough to face any challenge with grace and dignity and a slightly southern drawl. I hope to pass this trait on to my daughter, too. Ms. Cosby has infectious and hearty laugh and a mean stink eye that can shank you with a mean stink eye like that will shank you like a jagged piece of glass. Don't try her. We don't always agree on things, and I sometimes get annoyed because she is such a fair lady. You are supposed to take my side, Mom. Hello, lots of love. But we respect each other deeply. Plus, we can have a good giggle and a gossip session. And that is something not many can say about their moms. The infinity times, Mama Bear, the name I have for her in my phone. So that's what she called her mom. Wow. You know, good start.
Yeah.
You know, passes on. Good start,
yes,
passes on. Sometimes it don't, you know. But I can verify what she's saying by, I know her personally. You know, I've been knowing her for the last 11 to 12 years personally, seeing her in this town working. Not to be working on, she has a pretty good job. She's she works at this radio station and stuff, 99 point something. And she manages this station and stuff, but she's well liked by everybody, and she's always helping other people. You know, she's always helping other people. When I got ready to step down from the NAACP, because, you know, my wife was going through her bout, you know, she stepped up to the plate and she hadn't missed a beat with the organization. In fact, she did more than I did in 10 years with the organization. And I am so proud of her. You know, this lady's at the city council meeting. She's at the school. Her kids go to the same school that my kids go to. She's at the school. She's everywhere, being visible, you know. And if some idiot says something that she don't think is right, guess what? She in their face, you know. She don't let them get away with nobody. And she fights for everybody. She fights for everybody. So, yeah, that's a good one and stuff. And I have one more and stuff I'll read later on.
Oh, you can go ahead and read it.
This other one is from a lady and stuff that's, she used to be on the city council here in Yakima. She's a Hispanic lady. She's about 26 years old. And she did two terms on the city council. Now she's working for to try and get the redistricting. You guys heard of the redistricting thing, right?
I'm in Tampa.
Every 10 years, you know, states do this redistricting thing.
Well, her the census?
Census determine this stuff, you know, how many people that's living in a geographical area so that, you know, when the redistricting commission comes around to see how the districts will be drawn, you know, and it's supposed to be drawn up by the majority of the people just living in the district control their own, you know, vote. Unfortunately, here in this valley, for a long time, that it has been like that. Because you know, of course, the Native Americans, they got their own nation, living across two districts and stuff, and they cut it up a long time ago so that they could their vote was split. You know. So this lady and stuff, her name is Dulce Gutierrez and stuff. She just wants all of her Latinas to be able to roll their sleeves up and do what is right in their community. So her shout out is to all of her Latino sisters. Okay, to step forward and don't be afraid and stuff to do what's right, but help your community, you know, put back in your community and stuff, you know. She's really 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 a beautiful person, you know. This is to everybody, but then she'll form her own decision. City council couldn't deal with her because she knew everything about it. Before she ran for city council, she knew everything about what was going on and what wasn't happening in her district and stuff. And that's my district. She lives in my district. And Lord have mercy, she wasn't just like a world star. Some people were saying, oh, my God. They couldn't really do nothing with her, you know. They outvoted her, and then she would just say, okay, we're going to look at the facts of this. You can outvote me if you want to look at the facts of this, you know. And she's really, really a beautiful person. So those are my two Texas.
Okay. Let's see if he, one other young, my ride and die has joined me. Miss Rhonda, she's joining me. She's one of the quiet people. She's always in the background, but I want to shout her out because she hardly ever misses a show. She'll call in and she may be working, or she may be at her dance class, or she may just be, you know, listening. But she'll be texting me while we're on the show. Like the other night, she was texting me when we were on the show with Joe from Montana, and she says, wasn't that the guy who had talked about the AAA and leaving his girl out there? I said, okay. So I brought that up to him. He says, yeah, you would bring that up. But the conversation last Tuesday was good. It was, you know, it was uplifting. And we had a few people on the line from Washington, from Atlanta, from Montana, and from California,
Texas.
Yes, from somewhere everywhere. So it was good. It was a good show. But she's,
you know,
like always
it.
There. So
I like
she,
it.
She. Can
I like
I finish?
It and it's because what it was something different, you know.
Right.
We had a variety of topics that we talked about, and then everybody was engaged in those particular topics. You know, you call into our show. You calling to my show, Keeping It Real with Sergeant Parks, and I really don't care whether you have an opposing opinion. That's not the purpose of my show. My show is just to draw people out. Let's have a conversation, you know, because what is happening now right here in the world as we speak okay, yes, is that the powers that be, they don't talk to each other. Okay, they making mm-hmm. all the decisions, and then we down here paying $4.50, $5, $10 for gas and mm-hmm. and bread and food. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we, a lot mm-hmm. of us, not me, I don't feel helpless and stuff because I'm going to say my say. Okay, and I'm going to do everything I can to protect my family and make sure we have, and, you know, whatever. You know, but it's all about the synergy that we can hold at this level. Okay,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
people be saying, "Oh, well, just doing all talking." Well, I learned from you. I learned from the Reverend. I learned from my neighbors. I learned from my sister-in-law. You know, I try and learn from everybody. You know, how can we get here and have a conversation? Because right here in Yakima, you guys, where you guys are, you guys give me an idea, and I'm gonna be trying to try that here. To see if we can
work
here,
right?
Then maybe we can do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a whole lot, but it's the only thing I know to do. You know, it's a platform.
It's a start.
So I'm trying to do mm-hmm. that. So if you come on this show, mm-hmm. you're talking impity upper, you can love Donald Trump. Everybody, he got 85 million people love him. Okay, that's fine. Okay. That's fine. Love that. Love yes and stuff. But let's have the conversation and stuff so that we can learn and we can take away from this and do something, you know.
Right. Do something positive.
Yeah, do something positive mm-hmm. and stuff with what's going on this level and stuff until we get to Bill Gates now, you know, what that other guy's name was. Until we get to be that rich, you know, this is all we
have. Oh, Bezos.
Yeah, Bezos.
And Elon Musk. Mm-hmm.
These fools are spending, okay, like the last space expedition that they sent up, the guys, they spent $8 billion. Okay, to platform that and then send some people up in the space. And it's not space they're talking about, you guys. That's going up into the first layer of the atmosphere, then coming back down. Now, you don't want to space. No, my thing about going to space is go land on the moon and pilot that and see what kind of materials we can get to be up there. But that's what they're doing. All of that money could be spent, okay?
On something else.
On some other cause.
They can pay for the gas that's gone high.
I'm trying to. But that, you know,
and they're talking about a gas holiday.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. and they know that we won't figure it out fast enough because, you know, we don't talk to each other. That's the key word, the operative word and stuff is that we don't talk to each other, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't have that conversation on what you're going to do and stuff. Even if we get 10 cents cheaper from on the and that's another thing. The gas station, I got two gas stations with less than a mile and stuff. One of them, super gas and stuff, at one of them and stuff is $4.79. At the other one and stuff, it's $4.59.
That's
you
normal.
See what I'm saying? You know,
that's normal. Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. how they got it. Just all the supplies and transportation to get all of this stuff to there and stuff. They adding and tacking it on and stuff, you know. And it's
mm-hmm.
it's
that's
there.
Why
this
we need
crisis.
To. That's why we need to do the Joe Biden, BBB, Build Back Black. Okay.
Yeah.
We need to start creating our own businesses, supporting our own businesses.
But sis, even with that, okay, if they was to let go all of that money, okay, next week and say, okay, build back black and make all of that money available, you're going to have some buttholes and stuff going there and siphon the money off like when they gave all of those PPPs, that PPP money. And
loans,
getting $24 million. Like they weren't gonna get caught. okay? I'm going to get $24 million and get all of this money and stuff, you know. You got to have a plan when they get ready, when
right.
we get ready to do that. Because without a plan, we're subject to fail, you know.
Right,
it's about
right.
what our
mm-hmm.
destiny is, how we can control our own destiny. 44 million black
right.
folks in America own 1% of the wealth. 1%.
It's even
and
that
we're
much.
Spending, we're spending billions of dollars a year and stuff on things that don't come back into our communities. That's what
the
mm-hmm. conversation should be all about, and not for us. The conversation should be about how we're going to protect our kids and stuff, so that they can have they know how to negotiate this. They know how to negotiate what is coming at them. Okay.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, can I say something?
Yes, you may, sir.
Go ahead,
yes,
brother.
You know, for the most part, most of our communities need a financial institution within it. And it needs to be worked by people in the community that understands disparity and the wealth gap. You see, it's a wealth gap, and it's done by enacting wealth out of communities so that they go to other communities and take care of them, whereas their own community
mm-hmm.
has failed because they don't have the resources there anymore. A financial institution like a CDFI, which is a community development financial institution, what it does, it put money back into the community. It put money into the low and moderate income people's pockets. Where if the low and moderate
mm-hmm.
people got money, they can support the businesses in the community. But
Amen.
they need to have an institution that don't look at their FICO scores, but look at their ability to pay back.
Right.
Do you guys
well, right
know?
Now, this is where we're at. We're no longer a statistic, we are a numerical value based upon our credit and FICO score. You're right. And that does need to change because we're at a disadvantage from the beginning.
Well, if you have a...
Go ahead, brother.
If you have a budget, if you have a financial institution, then you have an institution
mm-hmm.
that can lend money according to people in the community's abilities to pay back. It's not rested upon their FICO scores. And if you have low, what they call low dollar loans, if you have loans where people can borrow up to $2,500 to $10,000 without collateral, but just have means of paying it back, well, a financial institution in the community can make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they have in the black communities and the brown communities is not the financial institutions. They've got those payday loan, those third party,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right,
title
right.
loan places, and that's the demise of us. You know, not us, but I'm just saying, a demise of a lot of individuals, families, their what could be wealth. They tend to lose their homes, everything, and then when you have assets, you have no assets. You've got nothing.
You got nothing.
Yep.
And it takes access to capital for a community to be developed, or a people in a community.
Do you guys ever heard of Leon Sullivan?
Yeah.
Okay, so Leon Sullivan, he had what he called was the Sullivan Principles. Okay. When he founded the OICs of America, then he went on to get on the board of directors for General Motors, or GMC. I mean, at that time, they were the biggest corporations in the world. He got on the board, and then he wanted to go overseas. This is around the time when Nelson Mandela was being held by the South African government, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And his principles, he had those principles and stuff to talk about what the cooperations and stuff, okay, should be doing, and what the indigenous population or people within whatever country that was should be trying to strive and stuff to do to get into businesses, you know, cooperative business, not just any business, cooperative business and stuff. So, you know, y'all should read, you should read about that, read about the Sullivan principles and stuff, see. And then you guys are right. We gotta do something like that on the, get some kind of savings and loan situation going where everybody chip in and stuff, and the money and stuff will go toward, you know, building affordable housing and stuff, and then having creating jobs, okay, creating jobs, and not just minimum wage jobs, but jobs and stuff in which you could feed your family with. You know,
mm-hmm.
25 years ago, you know, if we had to take the wages 25 years ago to try and we all be dead now. Okay. To try and feed, that's right. To try and feed our families, we'd be dead.
Right,
know?
Right.
Mm. And I mentioned about the black community and stuff because, you know, for example, me and my wife, we go on vacation twice a year. Like clockwork, you know. We use our time share because we got, for 10 years we went and we were just spending money on hotel travel, boom, 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 boom. So we decided to get a time share. We saved some money, you know, getting a time share and stuff, you know. But we spend money, okay? Black folks go to the movies and they go these other different places and stuff, these, you know, deals that they don't quantify. And then when you go into most of those places, you don't see people like you working there. You don't see mid-level managers. The richest sports outfits in the face of the earth, okay? The NFL. The NBA, just to name a few, the richest organization in the world. They got so many billions of dollars and stuff, nobody know how much money they got. And they're branching off and they're having NFL Europe and NFL all in South America and whatever, you know, to try and recruit players and stuff. And then if you look at the number of managers that they have, okay, especially the NFL, okay, look at the number of black managers or managers of color that they have, okay, it's pathetic. It's just out and out pathetic. And that's real sad and stuff. And most of the old NFL players that played a long time ago, they're not in the game no more. Now they coming down, the percussion and stuff that they face and stuff and getting hit so many times, they're coming down. But they got a good players organization that's going to put $500 million, and I think they're going to put some more into that pot so that the old players, just think of NFL, you make the NFL, how far, you can't go no higher than the NFL, okay? And you played for so many years, you got all banged up, now you 50 and 40 years old, laying on your sick bed and stuff and don't have nothing to compensate for. Isn't that pitiful?
Yeah.
And then all of those rich, those guys to own an NFL team, you got to be twice a billionaire. You know, you might say you're worth $500 million or something like that. No, that's a good old boys network and stuff there. You know, it's a good old boys network, and they're trying to keep. Why? Because the majority of the players are what? They like me and you. It's really pitiful. Mm-hmm. And I think that they could step up and be doing more.
Yeah.
Then they monopolize. Those entities are monopolized. There's one pro golf player, you got probably heard about it, called Phil Mickelson. He wanted to go to Saudi Arabia, even though I don't like Saudi Arabia, because that prince there, you could throw him in the same bag with the guy from China and Putin and the guy from North Korea. You could throw all of them in the same bag. They probably eat dinner together, you know. He want to just go around and beat people that don't never say nothing about it, because he'll do his a lot. You come up missing overnight. Okay, but this guy, this golfer talk about how come we can't get a league to go up against the NFL, go up against the PGA, the Pro Golf Association of America. How come we can't get something to rival that? You know what they told him? They suspended him. Just because he was talking about sitting down with the Saudis and stuff and getting another pro golfing association suspended him. Then a guy that was on the board of the PGA, he was talking the other day, and then the CEO of the PGA suspended him for talking about it. You know, and the only thing he said is, I think the PGA ought to be transparent. Okay, that's how strong they are, you know. These corporations are strong.
Wow.
That's what we got to fight against. It's a big hall to fight against that, but we can just come together and stuff and think of what it is that we can do, you know.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's better than doing nothing. Nothing from my granny used to say, nothing for nothing, leave nothing, boy.
Needs nothing.
She say not for not. Well, how did granny used to put it? Not for not.
Not for not, and get nothing won't be nothing.
You ain't going to get nothing out there. You know, that's just like getting blood out of grapefruit, boy.
I thought it was a turnip.
Well, she probably said turnip. I'm probably putting words in her mouth, but she probably said turnip.
See how you are?
But that's the power of conversation, you guys.
Right.
The power of conversation is to try and take away from it. You don't have to agree with everything. Mm-hmm. Take away from it and stuff, and then at the end of the day, what can we do? You know, it's just like information.
Right.
I was telling my grandson and stuff. He was saying, Grandpa, you know that we only use 10% of our power. I said, well, you know, you don't do nothing with the information. It ain't going to help you. What you going to do with the information? You know, start learning.
Right.
It's a trick, and then you want to be the scientist and the engineer, you know. You got to keep working at it. Just got to keep working at it and stuff.
Keep going. No, we don't have any more callers in so far.
Well, if you guys want to talk about specific topics, you know, email me and tell me what topics y'all want to talk about. Come on and talk about them. You know, come on the show.
Make
and talk
him email
about
it.
That's what it's all. Email it. And talk about it. Me and Miss Inez will go over it and see if there's any research we can do and stuff to come and bring the facts. But bring the facts, please. bring the facts.
Nothing but the facts.
I'm old enough now that my brain power don't work the way it used to work. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if y'all have any topics y'all want to talk about, bring it. You know, bring it. I know that Inez, she has some capacity and stuff. She is the director of the ship, you guys.
Right on.
We'll call this ship the I was going to say good ship lollipop. No, I ain't going to. We'll call this Titanic the fifth. Okay.
As long as you don't call it Amistad. Just don't call it Amistad.
Okay, well, you know, but she's a skipper of this show. She's doing a real good job.
Yeah.
She could also use somebody to team up with her. Now, we ain't getting paid for this. Team up with her and stuff, and then do some narrating and stuff. You know, we don't want, this is not all about me. It's not all about Inez, you know. This is about us.
Mm-hmm.
This is about us. How can we do that? The preaching them, they come on mm-hmm. on the weekend. They come on they got Bible study through the week, and then they come on Sunday and stuff and do church.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all visit that, you know. Let's
yeah.
see if we can make it better. I haven't been the one to step up and then be able to do that because on Sundays I'm doing something and then these different times I'm doing something. But I'm going to try because don't nobody need that word more than me.
Mm, mm, mm. We
nobody
all need the word.
Yeah.
We're
and this Sunday, yeah.
If you got something that you want to talk about, you know, current events, you know, we was talking about Ukraine. Okay. Now, how is this possible? I love everything that's happening. Everybody trying to help them, everything. I got nothing against the Ukrainian people, but how is it possible that they're going to be able to get away all the way to Mexico, buy a car in Mexico, and then drive through the border? When all of them people from South America, from Haiti, and everywhere
yeah.
else, you know,
yeah.
I looked the other day, and everybody was cool with that. We want to get them asylum, you know, to come in here, but that's double standards. Is that double standard or what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No comment.
Tell me. Yeah, tell me. they can get a car. They can go and buy them a car on the border and go across and show whatever identity they come with, go right across and get asylum in the United States. And you got people been down for months and months and months with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They can't even get into it. Can't even get into the United States, and they have to stay on the bridges and stuff next to the river and whatever. If that's not double standards in that. But then I look at the complexion of the Russians, and I say, wow, even though you got a lot of different minority pale-looking people in that country and stuff, you know, does that have anything to do with it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering. Y'all, tell me if I'm wrong. I'm getting old. You know, I'm senile.
You're not senile.
Ain't hard to see, but it looks like to me that every one of those people and stuff look like they could fit in anywhere in the world, you know. And then you get these other people to come along.
Mm-hmm.
It don't make sense. It don't. And the power to be that, but they be saying, oh yeah, we gotta have immigration and stuff. Well, I believe in legal immigration. You know, but
mm-hmm.
we set ourselves up for this. America set ourselves up for this over a period of 100 years. Give me your poor, your tired, your sick, you know. And they didn't say from what nation or where.
Yeah.
Everybody created equal. Y'all created equal. Okay?
But are we?
Of course not.
Okay.
You know, according to some people, and that's not everybody. That's not everybody. Don't get the thing that I'm talking about everybody, because I know some very decent people on both sides. All white folks ain't tyrants, and then all black folks ain't saints. You know, I already know that. You know, but wow, it seems to me that we are looking. I don't know. I'm just trying to keep the faith here.
Hey, Sergeant. Hello.
I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The justice of the secular system is not justice. The justice of God is justice. Now, what am I saying?
Amen.
God justice is everyone have enough of everything. The system of the secular world has a system to prevent everyone from having enough. So it's injustice. And it derives from chicanery, the haves and the have nots, the who's who. Well, and then from a method of Europe for all people because of chicanery, because of I'm the king of the hill, because of the plantation movement, because of the beast. See, the beast is all of those nations that will formulate themselves together to oppose God. So if you're dealing in a world where justice is for a few, you ain't going to get justice out of that.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
That makes perfect sense. And it seems to me that people used to care about that, Reverend. They don't care about that no more. They used to try and hide that. The last four years is all of those sanctified, sanctimonious people that are claiming that they God-fearing people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When they announced that they were supporting a tyrant, okay, man that disavowed the man that has publicly said, okay, that he used to put his hands on women, and he know that he was a married man, put his hands on women and then accost them, a man that would lie. A man that would hide his taxes. Everybody do that. Everybody hide their taxes and stuff, you know. But he would just go up in the government's face and stuff and then move his stuff around, okay, where it looked like he ain't did. I'm not making nothing out of this. And then he got a whole host of people that know that. And they're going to be behind this man. Reverend, what's going on with that?
Well, some people are in different areas of authority. Well, let me say this right here. Superiority with inferiority toward others hates the truth. And insecurity hidden by lies creates fear. So it's a bunch of people that are bound because of fear to move forward, okay? Now, if there is not a center, if there's not a mechanism in place to move them up mentally from that depraved mind, then they'll always accept injustice as justice.
Just business as usual. Just business as usual. And if you're on the low end of the deal and stuff, you get what you get. You know,
if you don't come together. Because let me just say something. It's the low end and the great populace that make the high end and economy flourish.
Yep.
It's the people.
Absolutely.
It's the people that they don't want to give loans to. It's the people that the traditional bank don't want to see come in because they're unbanked with knowledge. But those are the same people that they use their depositories to make other big corporations great. But they won't give them a loan. But they won't give the populace that's in the community loans, because they say, well, if we give them loans, we are at risk. But we'll use their money to loan out.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
Again, extraction of wealth. Leave one populace supporting the other. Let me take away the grocery stores over there in the low and moderate income places so they can go out here and then they can pay for the promenades out in the Peel Hill. But they left with nothing out there. They got to go over there. They got to take the money out of their communities because they don't have anything in there to refurbish and recirculate the money within their communities. Their leaders are not looking for the good of the populace. They're looking for the good of statutorial viewpoints.
That you mean that the greedy? You mean the greedy? That's what it is all about. They ain't getting nothing to the needy. The needy just gonna fall by the wayside. They don't care, man. You know, it's just the greedy. But that's the excellent point right there. You know, it ain't about no humanity. These people used to be about, humanity and stuff. America, looking up on America because, if you get to the shore, if you get to America, somehow you're going to be safe. Okay, when Donald Trump got to be president and stuff, and they was vetting those people, you know, that was going to come in and, you know, they was vetting them. Unless you snuck into the country some other way, the policy is already in place, you know. And then you get so many people. And then the thing about South America, a lot of people don't know. What happened in South America and stuff was that those dictators down there try to run all of them gangs and stuff out of their country and stuff, or hunt them down and kill them. That's right, young people, hunt them down and kill them and stuff. So they ran them to this country and stuff. But you see, we also had treaties with them where we would give them so much money so that we could keep, you know, we could get them to kind of take care of themselves and stuff. Okay, and the same token, back during when, was that Nixon? One of the presidents, where they was, the CIA was getting dope out of South America, selling on the inner city street. That's how they got the crack cocaine situation and stuff that we have and stuff. We used to support them, but whatever administration comes in, say, no, we don't do this. And then the dictator starts saying, now we're going to go to Russia. We got these countries in South America got Russian products, Chinese products, probably North American products. You know, they're all in where? Third world countries, in Africa. China got a big thing now going on in Africa, okay?
Yes.
Where they're helping
them.
Yeah. Where they're helping them develop the wheat and stuff, and where they're sending the wheat to? Back in China.
Yeah.
Okay?
We used to
do that, but we don't do that. Now, you can walk across the border, or you can get a dinky, and then you can ride across to the border. You can come through the Rio Grande. You know what I'm talking about? Okay?
Yeah.
But you got these other people look like they're white folks. They look like they're white people coming out of the Ukraine, and then they can go to Mexico, buy them a car, and drive across the border. Okay.
But I got a question, though. I got a question. How do you come all the way from the Ukraine down to the border? That's
Look,
what I want to know. How they get there?
That's what I want to know, too. You have to take a whole lot of ships or whatever flights to get well, I guess you can fly out of Poland. You can fly out of Poland and fly to because Poland is a neutralized
mm-hmm.
country. Fly out of mm-hmm. Poland and then fly into Mexico, you know.
Yeah.
So all these other people
it
and
has
stuff
to be
that's
so crazy. Foot
ain't got 2 cents. They can't even rub two nickels together, okay? Want to
mm-hmm.
seek asylum. Okay, and it's just impossible. I realize there's a whole bunch of them people. I really do. And I'm not saying let
mm-hmm.
nobody in here, but the system has to work. You know, not just
for everybody.
Yeah. Like this, it didn't talk about he don't want nobody from no third asshole world country.
Yeah.
Now, he was
third
talking
what?
The same. Donald Trump, remember he said he didn't want nobody coming from no
yeah.
third, some kind of derogatory term. You know,
yeah.
third world countries and stuff, and he wants some good old Europeans, okay? He wants some good old Europeans and stuff to come over because those people and stuff already have education. They got a job, just like he think that he's an educated person. He that boy dumber than Brick. You know, how you gonna spend $5 billion in a couple of years? What's up with that? You know, gonna just
yeah.
throw away $5 billion. But maybe he had it invested in Russia. You know, with the oligarchs. What's that guy name that was seen with the young girls and stuff? That killed himself in prison. Epstein. Yeah. Well, maybe he was one of his partners or something because the dude had 4 or 5 islands. Okay, they could fly into an island, take one of these 10 yachts, and okay, you know, doing stuff with. Now, how in good conscience, Reverend, are we going to be able to? How are you going to be able to stand up with somebody like that? How are you going to stand next to somebody like that? Okay, and then say, I'm with you, knowing that the man is a thief. He ain't paid no taxes. Hell, we paid more taxes than he did.
Right.
You know? How are you going to do that? And then when we get a whole section of the government, the most powerful people in the world, to go on to doing that, I'd be saying we in trouble.
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm.
We are. You know what? You know why? Because
we've been
a lot
in
of
trouble.
People, yeah, but it's a lot of people are trying to establish a godless nation.
Amen.
It's a lot of people are gathering different sects, different people all over the world, and they're called the beasts, and they're trying to have godless nations that are run by dictatorship or one man king over the world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if since this is happening, then the leadership of the communities of the minorities, the African American people and other small people, well, these leaders got to make sure that represent these communities, these people, that capital is accessible to these communities.
I agree with that.
But it's the leadership of the communities, the leaderships of the groups, the people, must have a mind frame or mindset that's viewpointed to getting money, capital, into the communities where the people that are less favored may have an equal chance, because it's going to come to the point where the investments that are made in the community of the low and moderate income people would have to be a tangible precious metal.
Amen.
But our leadership must get out of the who's who, and must get out of all of the I want to be among the aristocrats, and look to the job that they're elected for, making sure capital, making sure there's financial institutions in these different areas, and they are bringing the people up to the principle where they would have tangible access that is not dictated by digital systems.
Yeah. It just seems to me now more and more than anything else, you know, somebody feel a sense of urgency, especially after this last election. I mean, it's just like in your face. Before that, for the whole 4 years he was president, it was like in your face, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're going to listen to you guys and stuff, and then we're going to do what we want to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, all of a sudden and stuff, it is coming to the point where that they don't care that you know what it is that they're doing. It's in your face. I can just do this with impunity, just like what they did with the Supreme Court nominee. You know, everybody knew that this guy, even when he was in college, that's what he was doing. You know, him and his frat brothers and stuff got together, and that's what they did. They waylaid women. They call it waylaying the chicks. Okay?
Yeah.
Wait until they got half drunk or whatever, and this is what they did, and everybody knew that. All of these good old people knew that. Okay?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, you know. But he sold himself, just like Clarence Thomas, in my opinion, he sold himself, and they asked him one question and stuff. Is you going to vote 100% the way we want you to vote? You know. And he said, yeah. Why? Because the white population and stuff is really not growing, you know, it's diminishing. So they're looking at, especially like what happened with the Black Lives Matter movement that swept across the United States like wildfire, you know, and y'all already been had police killing black folks, especially black men, process of elimination, you know. When that happened and stuff, the first thing they said, then they scared all the white suburban people and told them that these people are going to be coming out in the suburbs and getting stuff reported on that. Go get a gun. Go on. The hell, they already own a gun. Okay? It's automatic weapons. Okay? I went to this one guy house I played golf with and see, I looked at him and I said, oh, shit. This boy had, excuse my French,
like
y'all. This boy had 50 caliber. I don't even know if you guys know what a 50 caliber machine gun is like. Okay. It's a big
50
old,
rounds.
The 50 caliber round and stuff, you know, you can shoot that thing and stuff 5,000 yards. Okay. It's effective at like 2,000 yards with a round and stuff about 6 inches long. Oh, he had two of them. And then every kind of AK-47, every kind of carbine that's been made, you know. So okay, you want to go down in my basement and stuff? You want to see us? Oh, really? I went down and I shot a couple rounds and stuff. But what on earth is anybody gonna need that?
Need that much power?
You got kids picking up. You got kids picking up, predominantly white kids and stuff, picking up AKs and stuff, and their mama and daddy getting up for it, and then they going to school and wiping out people. Okay. Just like it's clockwork. It's just like somebody done gave them a subliminal message and stuff that you don't like these people, and you're going to eliminate them and stuff. You know, the hate kind of thing and stuff. And then we got our government sitting there buying into it. They don't want to put no money into developing and fixing the streets and stuff, and then helping, you know, the hungry, you know, and the depressed and the seniors Oh, they'll throw some money at the military, you know. They'll put some money in the military and stuff. I get good I get good representation when I walk around here in my Sergeant Parks outfit and stuff. You know, are you doing so much? What's going on? Hey, what's up, man? You know, you gonna come out? Hey, we're gonna wait till the April and we're gonna play golf. Yeah, you know. But they what's going on, Reverend?
Well, again, if the people can be oppressed, and not encouraged monetarily, and not encouraged spiritually, to see the reality of they need to take leadership of their nation. So it's going to come to a point where every nation within this nation is going to have to be self-sufficient. And being self-sufficient, then this means each nation is going to be responsible for being able to circulate the wealth within their nation to compete with the other nations that are here in this nation, man. In other words, separatism and segregation is on the rise, but it's in another form. And
I agree.
The form that it's in is in the Europe system. How do they rope you? How do a system rope people? It's to get you to put all your access and your money in the control of the dictator.
That's
so therefore, if they want to bind you, they cut off your money supply.
Mm.
So if they want to bind a community or a nation of people, then the easiest way to do it is extract all the wealth out of them.
And then we'll be so bad. You got the politicians and stuff that are investing in these same companies. You got big time investments in the same companies and stuff. How can that not be a conflict of interest? I'd be asking myself that, you know. Say, what? This guy's on General Motors Corporation and stuff. You think he's going to vote against General Motors? Just like all of this stuff tie in to petroleum. Okay? If what is taking place now today in Ukraine with Russia thinking that he's going to tie up the Ukraine and stuff so all the prices will go higher all over the world because it has something to do with fuel and stuff, he could just tie that up, okay? Well, guess what? Everybody just buying right into it. United States got reserves, so let's pop out the reserves to show people we ain't got to go with tyrants. Well,
right.
I was glad he said it. Yeah, we ain't going to get no petroleum, even though we only get 8% of our petroleum from Russia. But I think that's a lie. I really do. I really think that these big oil corporations and stuff all over the United States get much more from them. And then he says, we're going to stop this supply. But what does that mean? What about all of the supply that's coming over here and already ordered? You know, because they had this thought out. Putin had this whole deal thought out when he did that. Okay. But the thing about it, he misfired on the fact that the Ukrainians don't want to be part of Russia. You know, the Ukrainian people live decent. Okay.
Yeah, they were fine.
Part of Russia and stuff. You can say what you want to say on the streets of Ukraine. You get into Moscow, boy, and you open your mouth, then you going to jail. Okay? There ain't no freedom of speech there. You know, you'll take whatever stuff you get and be proud of it, and you better not say nothing, you know.
It's
too late now. It's already started. But this, I thought this was Women's Day, Women's Health, Women's History.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
well, look what the women are doing. We just got Ms. Jackson's going to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's right.
Not only that, yep. Rosie Parks is now on the $20 bill.
Yep.
Yeah, but it shouldn't have been Rosie Parks.
Harriet Tubman.
Women are doing a great thing, but it's been a long time coming. You know.
Yeah.
Long time coming and stuff.
Yeah.
But see they just satisfy us. Just like, you know, they give us the month of February for a holiday. Okay, that's the shortest month. Okay, then they just shorten us. They just try to appease us. It's like, give us
here.
Something that's real.
You sell them here, but I think the Reverend is trying to say it's going to be up to us to be able to do that. You know, like this little town here, guess what? I want to go to school and stuff and talk to the principal, you know, from Black History Month, you know, and it's been like that for years. Well, what's going on? Is you celebrating any kind of Black history? And I'll pop in and try and get into the, well, not now during the pandemic, but trying to get into the schools to see if they got any display, teachers that I know pop by their classroom to see what the study is going to be on Black history and stuff, you know. And this one superintendent and stuff, he's dead now. He died about 2 years ago. He said, and I went to him and I said, how come the school district don't be never talk about Black history? You know? He said, well, you know, it's up to you guys to make us. You know, y'all gotta make us do that. Y'all gotta make us talk about Black history. So damn, all the money y'all making, we had to make y'all
really
do something. And now you hear the idiots and stuff coming out talking about they throwing kicking books out of school. Okay.
Yeah.
They wanna burn the books in West Valley and stuff. They was burning books, okay, by Black authors, you know, talking about LGBT, whatever it is and stuff, and some other books that are how you call that, traditional old history nice reading books, you know. They don't want their kids to. And this is primarily white women and men going to the school board meetings telling the school board they don't want no critical race theory taught in their schools, saying critical race theory, that wasn't designed to go into high schools. And, you know, it was designed to be taught at the college level and stuff to let everybody know and stuff the history of employment. Okay, what's the history of employment of America has been? You know, what's the percentage of people of color that have from this time to this time, and why they had it and stuff? It's the same thing we've been talking about with the NFL and the NBA, you know, that's predominantly owned and stuff by the regular culture, you know. And then how do you break that? Well, you have to have some kind of mindset to do it, as critical race theory was all about, learning what the mindset was, and then all of the regulations and stuff that the government had up to a different point until it got to, everybody didn't want, what you call when you're Black and you only get preference and stuff, what do they call that?
Privilege.
The race card?
No, they call it something else. It was a preference.
When you're Black and what now?
During the civil rights, they came up with a deal and stuff, so Black people can get admitted to college and stuff, and then they could get a privilege up. Because see, colleges and stuff, even though the government giving them all the money was basically the people that run the college and stuff would get their kids in, then minorities couldn't
preference?
Really get in.
What's it called? It
preference.
Special preference. Preferential.
No, I'm going to think about it in a minute, but then when they started doing that, then it was the backdoor thing. Then you had rich white kids who were saying, well, I'm going to sue because it's you can't give these people privileges. And then, the Supreme Court came up with, the Congress came up with it. I forget when it was and stuff. And then they came up with this so that black and minority people, kids could get college admissions. Okay, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
Affirmative action. Okay. Uh-huh. And then they come up with the twist, and the twist of that was the white girl went to sue them and say, "Yeah, well, you don't do that." And then went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court and stuff held some of it and say, "Yeah, well, I guess you." You know, you're right. It's not trying to have preferential treatment for people, you know. And the whole deal was all about trying to make sure that kids of color could get into college, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sergeant, again, it's been too long of a time where certain nations have not controlled the wealth or had access to the wealth. Otherwise, possibly, the system could have been changed for the minorities or the different nations of people, African Americans and so on and as such. But no change were brought about coming from the people graduating out of the institutions. All they were able to deliver was sorority and all of this kind of craziness, but none of the knowledge far as building communities, far as circling the wealth in communities, none of the graduates that are of color, if I could say that, they never came back to share that knowledge. They always went to the job and not considering the principles of bringing the wealth from the different government departments back to the people. And the leadership that did get into office, they were too scared to mention that the people in the low and moderate income areas needed wealth. They should take it to the other people because we don't have a plan. That's what they've done. A lot of it has, man, this is deep, but a lot of times it's not that the low and moderate can't get the money, but it's just that they don't have a mechanism to bring the money to them. The leaders are not apt on having what they need for its institutions that deals with capital in the communities. They still trying to run off the system that have failed the communities of the low and moderate income people.
Amen. I agree with that.
Mm.
That said beautifully, you know, they don't care nothing about like minimum wage. When they started talking about minimum wage, okay, and all of a sudden, the corporations, they don't have the necessary workers because they're making so much money and they want to expand. They don't have the workers that they need. Then they start saying, oh, we're going to go up to a higher minimum wage or stuff, you know. And I'm saying, okay, so if they can do it, everybody else can do it and stuff, you know. But corporations, they're out to make money for their board of directors,
nonprofits,
and the people that hold stocks, the stockholders, they're out to make money for them. And then another thing and stuff they did maybe about 15 years ago is the CEOs of the big corporations and give them $25 million. You know, just think about it. $25 million a year to be CEO of Pepsi Cola, saying, what the heck is that? You know? So everybody thinking that they want a competitive edge and stuff is going to set their money, their scale high, okay? And then on the short end of that, a lot of the corporations don't want to give you no medical, okay?
They don't want to give you anything.
Yeah, you know, give you that minimum wage and stuff and maybe give you two weeks a year or 1 week a year. You know,
well, it's a reason for that, Sajid. It's a reason for that. Now, if I can keep a bunch of people without anything and all of their bare necessities lies within my gates, well, then they got to do what I say. They got to do what I say, right? But now, if the population of people change their mindset, then everybody would have to come to the table for reasoning.
Absolutely.
If the population changes its mindset from the history mindset of the secular system that we're dealing with, then everybody would have to come to the table for reasoning.
There you go. You can't get nothing if you ain't at the table. You know, you ain't going to eat at supper time if you ain't at the table.
That's why I'm booking pioneers, man.
For what? For what? That's crazy. Voting for me. But we have about 15 minutes left, so I know that Sergeant Parks wanted to have prayer for, you know, the ladies or what have you, the women out there who've been going through and having a hard time and so on and so forth. So, Reverend, I know that you had prayed earlier, but if you don't mind praying for the afflicted women and those who are going through and those who are suffering and just overall,
yeah.
Prayer,
yeah,
basically.
The sisters that think that they can't make it and stuff, Reverend. Let's try and lift them up out of here. You know, they can do it.
Okay.
They can do it.
But let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, who has all authority over heaven and earth, through by the resurrection, through by you, God, let us rise to unity in the name of Jesus. And then those that are hurting, those that are mentally confused, those that have been used and abused, well, you said in your word, the stones that the builders rejected became the head of the corner. And Jesus, you told us upon you leaving the earth, you said, I'm going away, but I'll send you all the Comforter who will lead you and guide you into all truth. Father, this evening we're asking that all of the ladies and all of the gentlemen around the world, whatever state of mind, whatever condition, whatever crack or cranny, we ask you to open the eyes of their understanding that they may communicate with the perfect, righteous, and Holy Spirit, that there be a communication daily that they may be led and directed into the mature mind and into the divine nature in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, we ask in Jesus' name that justice, your justice, where there's enough for everyone, everybody have all things common, we ask him that you would flourish us over and over again with your spirit of knowledge and your spirit of wisdom and your spirit of love and your spirit of tolerance and affection one for another in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, let us learn to work together. Let us learn to look at each other as you look at us, through the eyes of Christ. In the name of Jesus, we ask him that you bind all the powers of darkness and that you loose all the powers of heaven. You said whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Lord, we loose the spirit of victory. We loose the spirit of overcoming. We loose the spirit of your image as your people to overcome these different tribulations and trials. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, on this day that have been set aside to recognize your handmaids and your women servants, Lord, you made them for a specific reason. And that reason was to complete man. Now let us look, let us look as men to the leadership that you put in the woman, that we may be completed. In the name of Jesus, you saw that nothing was suitable for us, so you made her for us. So let equality of a perfect union come back to the man and the woman in the name of Jesus. Let all of the differences, and give us a great day of atonement where we settle all of our differences, and then let us march in unity to a better uprise in this nation of people, in the name of Jesus, for you declared that the people perish for lack of knowledge. But if you open the eyes of our understanding, then we'll be able to comprehend the knowledge, Father. In the name of Jesus, strengthen those that are weak, and build up those that are torn down, and those that have given up on life, given up on hope, given up on you. Because of this godless nation that we're in, Lord, give them courage to come back to you. Speak to their heart. Speak to their mind. And you can do it because you created all of us. And you made us in your image. So the image that they are taking of the beast and of his attributes of the devil, Lord, purge their conscience. Purge their conscience from the old sensations, old dead works that have them bound, and to let them be free in you, Jesus, because you said, whom you set free shall be free indeed. Okay. Now we thank you tonight for all that thou hast given us, all that thou hast shared. Let us work together. Let us plow minds together, and let us come up with a solution that's profitable for all, that thou would do these things for us. We'll be careful and get thy name the praise. Now and forevermore. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen again. Yes. Yes.
Okay, hey, Inez, thank you. Thank you, Reverend. Thank my sister.
Yes, sir.
I know she dropped off and stuff, but.
She did.
I'm going to, the next show is going to be on the 24th. And I think that, I'm going to have a guest. I'm trying to get this guy to come on and talk about what we've been talking about pretty much tonight, a form of unity and stuff. You know, I talked about Leon Sullivan, but he's going to bring Leon Sullivan's, if I can get him to come on, to bring Leon Sullivan's principle. And then there's some other guys that he's going to throw in the mix and try and get us to see where here in your own community, you know, there has to be some kind of hookup so that we can do something about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plan. If it don't happen, Inez, I'll get with you before the week's out and then let you know if there's another plan and stuff. But, hey, thank you, sis. You brought it. Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Reverend. You brought it. Hey, I love you guys. And y'all have a good night.
We are here for you. Yes. Conversation between Reverend and Sarge.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, that dress. I like that dress. I'm going to go show it to my wife now.
Okay. Okay, thank you. You're so funny.
All right.
So do you want any closing remarks? Oh, you don't have any other closing remarks, Sergeant Park?
You got it all, sis. Go for it. You know.
I said as much as I can say.
It's just all about us coming together, agreeing to disagree, and then let's get on to the next point.
Right on.
I say on to the next one. Okay, okay. Y'all so funny. But, yes, we want to thank all of you who did tune in, even though you didn't call in, and sent texts in and emails and what have you that we read over the airways to our worldwide listeners. And this Sunday we will have Pastor B from A Time to Decree to bring us a second Sunday service, and that is 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern. And if you have any questions or anything that regarding what you heard tonight or want to bring up, you can email them to letsdoitradio@gmail.com. That's L-E-T-S, doitradio@gmail.com. And we would like to bring those topics to the show. And I started something. Miss Inez, what did I have now? Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. So as we had this past week, so, you know, you can always listen to past episodes by going to Do It All in the Mall's homepage and then scroll down on the right-hand side and see Let's Do It Radio, the little radio icon, and click on it, and then you could check on any of them, Bible studies that have passed, shows that have passed, Sunday services that have passed, communions, and, Brother Ron, you want to talk about your record that's out? Let's talk about your record that's come out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank God. We just put out the Don't Turn Away From God album, and let me just share this. This album was brought about maybe about a few years ago, but then I was urged to go ahead on and record it. You know, when Leslie, Miss USA, was so bogged down with all of life's trials until she went and plunged to her death from so many stories, then the Don't Turn Away From God. The Don't Turn Away From God album, to me, speaks to the hearts of people that hear it before they commit an act such as that. Don't do it, you know? And so this inspired me to hurry up and get this album out. And the album has some very beautiful music, has a ballad or so, and has some up-tempo music. And all of the music is full with a message. Each song has a message, and we used a lot of our band in the studio, so it was a live band, live band, and we formatted the studio like an actual show. So on the CD itself, it's set up like the show. Online, iTunes, YouTube, and all of the different web stores that we're in, it's set up where four songs and then four tracks involving the intros and the outs. Well, we were doing a unique project. So we were doing a unique project, so we wanted it to be unique in many different ways. And also, our main ideal for this project and this session, this album, is to win people mentally to God. And to stop them from tragic becoming anti-God. That's what this album is all about. During these times where the Antichrist and the beast is trying to persuade everybody away from God.
Okay. All right. We only have about 60 seconds left. So go to iTunes, YouTube. Don't Turn Away From God. It's wonderful. I've listened to it a few times, and it's out there. It's wonderful, and we want to thank you to all the callers that came in, the shout-outs, as we celebrated this Women's History Month this evening, Sergeant Parks and Reverend Ron and Sergeant Parks' sister-in-law. We thank you again, as I am Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Alco Designs. Stay woke, Stay blessed and keep your head on a swivel. And remember who you are and keep it real. As we will be back in 2 weeks with Keeping It Real with Sergeant Parks. Thank you and have a blessed day. Love each other. Yes. Amen.
Yeah.